Let me read this and we'll declare it out together. Okay. Ephesians 1, verse 17, it says that the Lord our God, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having your eyes and your hearts enlightened, that you may know the hope that has called you. How good is that? Amen. I just felt like this morning, the Lord wanted to activate that in us. So why don't we start on our feet this morning? We want to keep the blood pumping. So we're going to declare this out together on our feet. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. All right, repeat after me. The Father of glory gave us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And it's here. Fill us with the knowledge of Him. Come on, let's.
Well, welcome this morning. Way to brave the cold. We're going to start with a new praise song. I'm excited. God is good. He's always worthy of our praise. Even in the midst of a cold room, He's always worthy. Jesus, we honor You. We bless You. You are King Almighty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, we're just going to open up with just singing out, declaring, let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Faithful, praise 'cause
shout of praise. Jesus, you're worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you just look at somebody and smile and say, he is worthy of our praise? Always worthy of our praise. Father, we give you glory and honor. We thank you that you reign in this place, King Jesus. We love you. We lavish you with our praise and our adoration. You're so good to us, Father.
Me. It's all gonna be okay.
Son of man with eyes of fire burning.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thanks for coming out this morning. I know it's a little chilly in the room, and some of you, I know there's a few people that aren't here because they texted saying, hey, they're supposed to be at my house this morning to turn the heat on, and I'm choosing that over being with you, and so I'll let the Lord deal with them. But you've come out, and so the Lord's going to bless us, and he's been blessing us. But I want to challenge you with something this morning. We're going to pray over our offering. There's an opportunity up here to come and bring your offering. And then I want us to go back into that song. I know we were learning it. It's a new song for the team. It's a new song for us called Praise. But right over here, Prophet Rich, would you raise your hand? Thanks for being with us this morning. And Gil. And this is Willie and Heather Bovard. Ooh. And Corey and Emily and Dawson. I had the opportunity of being with them this weekend along with a few others. And I saw something yesterday morning that it marked me, and I wanna say it this way to you. There was about 10, maybe 10, 12, I don't know how many youth were lined up, about 23 to 15 years old. They were there yesterday at this conference we were at, and they were lined up and they were getting prayed for, and I was just watching. And I felt that as I watched that, what I saw the Lord doing was it went with what was the theme and what was being spoken by the prophets and the prophetic about this generation. But as I watched it, what I began to see is the influence that we have had on them. I began to see that we have actually lulled them to sleep. That we have set an example of being the kingdom of God on earth that isn't very powerful or isn't really worth inviting or being a part of. And I had to sit there and repent because, Lord, we should be leading the way. We should be expressing and experiencing and putting the kingdom before others in such a manner that it is palatable, that it can be tasted and seen, that it is good. And there isn't any condemnation in this word. Please hear me. But there is conviction. And the conviction that I want us to get from the Spirit of God this morning is that maybe some of us need to take a good look in the mirror and ask ourselves, what type of life are we leading and is it worth following? Because we are the temples of the living God. We are the residency of heaven on earth. And we get to portray his kingdom and release it, not just in our actions, by going to church on a Sunday morning, hoping that one of your neighbors might see you and go, oh, you know what? I really want to follow them this morning. I don't know where they go, but they sure look good. And they head out their door. Same time every Sunday. How many of you have neighbors following you? Not a lot. Because they probably don't even know where you're going. They might think you're doing your grocery shopping at 9:45 in the morning as you run out of the house frantic, dragging your kids because they have to be there with you. I don't know what they're thinking, but they ought to know what you're doing. And they ought to know that you're there in a time of need. They ought to know that the kingdom of heaven is real. And it's got to be something that's not just real here on Sundays when we gather. It's got to be real when you go to work tomorrow. It's got to be evident that something is different about you and I. And so as you prepare your offering and as you give this morning and you come and make that deposit before the Lord, as we so faithfully do, and so many of you understand that, and you walk in that discipline and you walk in that joy and that generosity, I want us to go back into that first song and reconnect with it, because it's got lyrics in it and it's got these lines in it that are declaring what you and I should be doing all the time. And that is praising. Praising. And whether it's with your voice or you're walking down the street and you're clapping or you're snapping or you're whistling or you've got a little giddy up in your step and you're skipping. I don't know. It doesn't have to just be words. It can be evident that there's something that has apprehended your attention and your worth, the worth that you see it's worthy of your giving. Amen. And listen, I know it's a little chilly, it's a little cold, you know, but you know what? It could be worse. I mean, it could be worse. I mean, it's 64 degrees in here before you got here. And I'm sure it's at least been raised for just a few. Just hang on, Dean. I'm sure it's been raised just a few degrees because, you know, we're here. But it's a great reminder that, Lord, no matter what, even if we're a little cold, a little chilly, you know, some of you chose to sit a little further apart. I don't know why. I mean, come on. You can huddle up, you know. You can huddle without cuddling. How's that? You know, now if you want to cuddle, I'll leave that between you and your spouse or your loved one, whatever. So bow your hearts with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for every pocketbook. We thank you for every checking account. We thank you for every investment. We thank you that you are the provider. We thank you that, Lord, it all comes from you. And that, Lord, in exchange for everything that you've given us, Father, we bring our tithe. We bring our missions giving. We bring the assignment giving that we've been called to give. And Father, we sow into the legacy of the kingdom being proclaimed and preached to the ends of the earth. And so we thank you, Lord, that there would never be a need that we believe is bigger than what you can provide. And we say to you, enemy, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, where you have tried to steal, kill, and destroy the advancement of the kingdom because of the lack of finances, we declare, Lord, the storehouse of heaven is open. And that there would be a flow of resources and prosperity and abundance surrounded by praise and a spirit of generosity that reveals your kingdom and it draws men unto you. And so we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As you're making that offering, I do want us to sing this song again. I want us to praise. It's going to set us up for where we're going and how we're going to look at the word this morning. And so let's just join with the worship team again.
Praise in the valley, I praise on the mountain. I praise when I'm sure, praise when I'm doubting. I praise when I'm numbered. I praise when surrounded. I praise in the water, my enemies drowning. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise. More than a sound, my praise is a shout. Woo! That brings Jericho down. Oh, as long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to you're sovereign. Praise cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you. I praise cause you're sovereign. Praise cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, what a powerful declaration that is. You guys can be seated if you want. Can we bless the worship team? Thanks, worship team. That was amazing. So good. Hey, so I'm going to read some announcements this morning. I have the pleasure and the honor of transitioning us out of worship and into announcements. You're welcome. And before we do that, though, I want to do something a little different with the announcements this morning. Everything that I mentioned, I want you to just turn on your curiosity of what would it look like if the glory broke out in every announcement I'm about to share with you this morning. Because I don't actually want us to leave that place. I feel like the Lord has something for us in the realm of glory this morning. So I'm going to give you announcements, but I want you to think, what would it look like if the glory broke out in this one? So first one I want to talk about, if you can pop the slide up there, is the Waffle Bar on Sunday. That was supposed to be today, but because of the gas thing going on, we are actually pushing it back to next week. So in your bulletin, it says the 12th, but it's actually going to be pushed back till next week. The other thing we want to mention this morning, what would it look like if the glory broke out over waffles? Come on, our waffles couldn't even contain the glory, right? Come on, what would that look like? We see youth and we just all just dogpile in the middle. I don't know what it would look like, but it'd be good. It's so good. All right, family appreciation dinner, if we want to throw that up there. Before I forget, because I'm getting lost in glory, the sign-up's in the back. So if you guys have like a really good soup that you want to bring, sign-ups are in the back for that. You know, Tiffany put her request in for really good chili last week. So if you just have like a killer chili, we can call that a soup and we'll eat that. But what would it look like if we had a family appreciation dinner next week at 5:30 here and we all just got blasted with his glory? In the middle of food and fellowship. Come on, what that might just look like revival. How good would that be over soup? Come on, and bread, and maybe some chili if you're going to bring it. The next one is Young Life Sim and Rolls fundraiser, if you want to throw that up as well. Awesome. So we're starting the process because all of this is going to be online orders this year. So if you have your phone and are wanting to get your Sim and Rolls, you would just bring your camera up and scan the QR code, and it'll give you a direct link so that you can go and you can order those. I don't know if it's large enough in the bulletin for you to scan it here, but we'll help you get that taken care of. What would it look like if these cinnamon rolls were infused with glory and we just sent them like prayer cloths out to homes around the valley as gifts? Come on, for Christmas, the people that we love, and they ate it and they were just filled with the glory of the Lord. All of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on inside me. Something's just starting to mess with me. And we should begin to get our hopes up about the glory. I just felt like this morning as I was coming to church and the Lord was just showing me a picture, and I just felt like there were glory encounters that he was opening up. I felt like I saw your face glowing. And I just felt that the Lord was just encountering you with glory. And so I want to encourage you. I really feel like, I don't know if any of you know this, and it's so interesting whether we connect with this or not, but this decade is a pay decade in the Hebrew calendar. And so that is a time or a season of the mouth. And so a lot of the things that is happening in the earth, and I really feel like for the body of Christ, has to do with the mouth and has to do with our voice. And Tiffany and I have been Jehovah sneaking you for the last several weeks. I don't know if you've noticed, but when we get into our worship time, is we pray something over you. We read the word. Let's hear the word this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, clap. Put your hands together. Thank you. It might warm you up a little bit. Yeah, and if you got a Bible app on your phone, wherever, open up to Matthew 10. We'll get there in a moment. Again, thanks for being with us. Real quick, let me just make an obvious announcement, you know, for some of you that just want to know what's going on. I apologize. I was working on Saturday or Friday. I was setting some railroad ties and my finger decided to get in the middle of the hammer or the mallet and the railroad tie. And I will confess to you, I cried. And I cried a good cry. And it wasn't like a Holy Spirit cry that happens in my room sometimes or in the move of the Spirit. It is a full-on baby fetal position just cry. Because, man, it hurt. I had a glove on. I was so afraid to take off my glove because I did not want to look at it. About a half hour later, I tried to do some more work and I just realized, you know what? I cannot bear the pain because now it's shooting down my hand. I'm sitting there praying in tongues for the next half hour, trying to get through the tears and just finish this one step. The glove, the finger had gotten so enlarged that my glove, you know, was sticking to it now. But praise God I'm here, right? You know, I mean, I could be at home waiting for the guys to turn my heat on, watching you all online and, you know, calling upon Josh in the last minute and say, hey, Josh, I hurt my finger and, you know, I need to stay home. But I don't want it to be a distraction to any of you that, you know, it's probably the only time I can get away with that, right? Jesus, so good. So good. Yeah. Yeah. All the people that would be offended by that stayed home today. So none of you are offended by it. Praise God. Amen. So, yeah, amen. It's good to laugh. It's good medicine. I had an incredible weekend. I just want to take a few minutes and just honor our guests and honor what I experienced this weekend. I got to go up into the Deary area. Some of you are getting to know the Bovards, Willie and Heather and their family. We baptized the kids this summer in the river. Got to meet Prophet Rich and Gil here and Pastor Alex from Pasco. I got to share Friday night and minister in the Spirit and then see the ministry of the Spirit continue throughout the weekend. And again, very moved, very touching, very encouraging because this region, we have been contending for the Spirit of the Lord. And we see little glimpses of it here and there. But to sit in such a manner this weekend and realize and hear the Lord, and even in my journaling and time just driving back and forth with Chad and Bob and Susan joined us yesterday, just so encouraged. And I just want to encourage you, as Josh was being that champion and that cheerleader for us this morning, I hope that you're not just having this emotional experience, but that you actually sense the Spirit of God stirring in you. Because He is so excited. He is so excited right now about the posture that we have said we want to have and we are contending for. And I know some of you, this is new to you, and some of you, you know, might not know how to interpret the times and seasons, and we're going to pull you right along. You're going to get sucked up into this whirlwind, this vortex we've been talking about that God's been showing us. But I want to encourage you that the Lord is sending men and women into this land, into this region, to help us steward what God has called us to. In the same breath, in the same recognition, He is also asking many of us to go and declare what it is that He's given to us into not just this region, but into other regions. And so some of you, as you travel, as the Lord sends you, as workplaces finance and pay for your movement and your travel, recognize that you are not here to just get a paycheck. You are not here to just serve someone else. You are here to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if He so chooses to use your job as the avenue through which He finances your movement, then bless Him. Thank Him. Don't miss the opportunities because they're all around us and they're only going to increase. And I want to say to some of you this morning that your prosperity, because we're going to get into this word prosperity this morning, is going to increase. But what has to also increase is the faith that you are going to believe for it. Because God has already said that it's for you, it's for me. But what He needs and what He's looking for are men and women who are going to walk in the faith that is equal to that which He wants to deposit. And here's the thing that we've always come to believe and we've always seen and we know it to be true, we know it to be kingdom, is that we will reap more than we sow. It is a kingdom truth, a kingdom principle. You will reap more than you will sow. And so this morning, there's a set of notes you can follow along.
We've been in this journey of looking at what does it mean to have heaven on earth, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we are contending for and believing for and standing in the posture where Jesus said on earth as it is in heaven. Meaning we need to know what heaven is like. And so we sang a song this morning about we can go to heaven right now. Many of you are already accessing and ascending and descending in the spirit. Some of you are having dreams and visitations. Many of you see the angels and the activity that's in the room or in the environment or in the region. There are things that are happening that you and I need to start cluing into and getting more comfortable with in the spiritual reality than our natural reality. Because that eternal reality is going to be what takes over all reality. And you and I have access to it, and we are the conduits. We are the vessels. We are the sons and daughters who get to step into this reality and put that on display for all men and women to see. And so when you and I stop, and we're going to pray right now for Israel, what you need to recognize is that you're not just sitting in Lewiston, Idaho, praying for Israel, that you are seated in a heavenly seat by the right hand of the Father, the Son, and you are declaring from that heavenly place what Jesus commanded us to pray, what he mediates night and day for, and that is for the peace of Jerusalem. That is for the righteousness and justice to come upon his people, for their eyes to be opened, for all our faith to provoke them to jealousy in such a manner that they recognize that their Messiah is Jesus Christ. And so we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for all men and women, Palestinians, Arabs, even the Muslims that are in the country, the Christians that are there, the non-Christians that are there, the refugees, all of them. Because where we see the blessing of the Lord, it is not limited to a single person, but it's supposed to infect and affect all those around, which is a true word for you and I, that you not only should be blessed, but those around you in your presence should also be getting blessed. And what some of us just need to do is begin to wake up to the reality of the blessing we have and begin to let it flow. And there's reasons why we don't let it flow, and we can deal with those at another time. But if you just ask Holy Spirit, our teacher, he will show you why it doesn't move. And so right now, I want you to begin to just recognize that where you're seated is the posture that Christ bought and paid for. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I want you to begin to bless Israel and begin to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Begin to pray for the Spirit of God to move and begin to give wisdom. Begin to outpour his Spirit in such a manner that he meets these men and women in dreams. He visits them. That in the days of old, that when he would send the sound of an army, that it would dispel the enemy and send them running. That, Lord, that you would use our sound, our voice, as Josh was mentioning, that, Lord, our sound right now as we pray, as we intercede, as we declare, as we prophesy over you, Israel, that your land is going to expand, that you're going to see righteousness and justice come, that the King of Kings has not forgotten you or forsaken you, but we join with all of heaven right now to see you invade that land. And, Lord, bring healing and deliverance, Father, to those that would inflict violence, that would cause there to be, Lord, this murdering spirit used to infiltrate or bombard or hide away, that in the name of Jesus Christ, that they are not beyond your reach. That, Lord, the men and women of Hamas are not beyond your reach. That Hezbollah is not beyond your reach. That Iran and Syria and Jordan, all these surrounding countries, that, Lord, you see them and you know that that is your land that your people traversed. And that, Lord, there are promises still in that land that are waiting to be called out, waiting to be woken up. And so we say to the angels that have been on assignment in that land, but have been dormant or that haven't had the word released over them, we say in the name of Jesus, begin to move, begin to move, begin to move, begin to move, begin to move in the spirit, begin to move according to the word. And that, Father, we would even get the testimony coming across CNN. And that they wouldn't even know what they're saying and it would startle them. That we would see it across the news networks, that you get the glory in the name of Jesus. Come on, amen. Come on, I guarantee you, if you will bless Israel, you will be blessed. And the reason I can make that guarantee, because Jesus made that guarantee for us. When he got up out of that grave, there were a whole lot of guarantees that started to be fulfilled. They moved from promise to now guaranteed experiences. And the blessing that comes from blessing Israel is one of them. And so as we've contended for, Lord, what does it look like to have heaven on earth? And we've postured our faith and we've allowed access of the Holy Spirit to take us into these realms, to take us into these spheres, to take us into these dimensions of seeing the expanse of heaven. There's this reality of now letting the kingdom of heaven be at hand. And we've looked at this. And so in Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8, we see that Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because as we go, we get to see the sick healed, and we see the cleansing of the lepers, and we're talking about the dead being raised and the casting out of demons. And freely have you received, therefore freely give. And we've been on this verse, and we've been in this context, and we've broken down a lot of chapter 10. And what I want to do this morning is introduce you to the next place that God wants to deal with when it comes to fulfilling this. And they are issues of the heart, particularly the issue of where we put our treasure. And we're here this morning, and many of us believe that, yes, my treasure is in Jesus. Yes, my treasure is in the Lord. Yes, my treasure is in the wealth of heaven. Yes, my treasure is in the fullness of God. Yes, we would say those things, and we'd do a lot of good lip service to our neighbor who hears us. But the Father hears the heart. And the Spirit is wanting to reveal the heart. And it's wanting to challenge the lining up of the lip service and the belief. And where there isn't alignment, meaning I'm saying one thing, but I'm believing another thing, the Lord in the Spirit of God gets excited about, hey, let's bring alignment to that. Let's address that and begin to show this alignment of both what is in the heart and in what is in the mouth. And we know out of the heart, the mouth speaks, but there is this little gate that the heart issues have to pass through. And it's known as the mind. And man, it is a landmine. It is made of the flesh. And it has limitations, and it doesn't like sometimes the things that the Spirit of God is saying and wants to say through our heart. And it gets jumbled and it gets translated, and all of a sudden it comes out and it's different than the way it was in us. And some of us, we just become familiar with the lost in translation sequencing that happens. And what you and I need to have is a conviction of the Spirit that says what you're saying isn't really what you're called to believe. What you're saying doesn't line up with the way God is going to move. And so we get back into our posture of prayer. We get back into the posture of understanding the Word. We open the Word, and we don't just read the Word. We sit in the presence of the Word. And we let the Word begin to illuminate the issues of the mind and the belief systems that are translating things and causing them to not be in sync. And we get ourselves in this place where all of a sudden what we say about, Lord, we want the kingdom to be made known because we believe the kingdom is at hand. He begins to ask us, well, let me look at your treasure. Let me show you what you have called treasure. And so for the sake of this morning and just the nature of the cold, I'm just going to break what I had for us into two. And so you can come back next week and get the rest of it. But join me in Matthew 6. And some of you will be very familiar with these verses. Some of you might be reading them for the first time. And so we're going to trust that the love of the Father and his first love encounters with us mark us. For others of us, that first love encounter is going to be awakened. And in Matthew 6, verse 19 to 20, it says this. It says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So again, as we navigate, Lord, what does it look like to move in the Spirit to such a degree that the manifestation of heaven is happening all around us? That there is no delay, that there is no reconciliation anymore because it's an elementary thing and we've left it behind, and now we can stand righteously before the situation where we're not super, you know, overwhelmed by the worry and the concern and the future and bogged down by people's opinions and all these things. But we can stand in that situation in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, in the justice that we've been given through his blood, and begin to speak to it and declare that this is how the Lord said it should be. And we take that treasure that we've accessed. And the first treasure, obviously, is our salvation in Jesus Christ that we've received. And the treasure that he's given us by giving us his Spirit. But if you stop there, you miss out on what everything else the Lord has for you. You miss out on everything else that the Lord wants you to bring to earth. And so you might be looking at a financial situation and wondering, Lord, how am I going to pay this bill? But God's not wondering. God's not wondering how you're going to pay that bill. He knows exactly how he can pay that bill. He knows exactly the strategy, the wisdom necessary for you to pay that bill. What some of us are failing to do is, one, ask him, Lord, how do I pay this bill? And secondly, then obeying what he says to do about paying that bill. So years ago, I'm walking to work. Many of you know I lived in Hawaii for a number of years. I'm walking to work. We had just gotten married. I owned a really nice Jetta. I loved driving it. But we got married. Jacqueline moved to Hawaii. We get married and she takes over driving my Jetta. So she's headed off to work every day in this nice Volkswagen Jetta. Absolutely love that car. It was dear to me. But I loved you more, so I surrendered it over. And work, my work was only about 2 miles away. So I chose just to walk 2 miles, and I sent her about 15, 20 miles across the island to go to her job. And I walked. And in Hawaii, you get these little rainfalls that last about 5 minutes, except for when you walk, they last about a half hour, which it took to walk about 2 miles. And so every day, for almost like probably 8 or 9 months, because it wasn't quite a year, I just walked to work. And I began to pray this simple prayer. Lord, I need a car. I don't have the money for a car, but I need a car. And I'd see a car drive by, and I'd look not at the car, which I should have been doing, but I looked at the person driving that car and going, Lord, why is it they have a car like that? And I don't. I'm serving you. I'm giving you my time, and I'm walking to work in the rain. I've asked people to give me a ride. The frequency was like once a month. You know, it just wasn't there, and I'm walking. Now, I confess to you now that later on the Lord showed me a whole lot of stuff he was doing in me. But along the journey, I began to say, Lord, I need a car. And I'd look at people and I'd make judgments and I'd point out things and I'd say, Lord, the devil is financing his workers way better than you're financing your workers. I need a car. And I mean, that's where I went. I just got stuck in that thought because I believed it. And I still believe that. I believe that I see the devil financing his workers better than the workers of God asking for what God wants to finance. Amen. Are you good with that? Yeah. Okay. So we got to get over that. So I'm walking to work. Well, one day, a husband and wife, beautiful couple, Ray and Ramona, come up to me and say, hey, Jeff, the Lord put you and Jacqueline, we had one kid at the time, Josiah, he was a baby. Jacqueline, put you and Jacqueline on our hearts. We want to give you a car. And I was like, yes, Lord, praise God, because I saw them driving a brand new Toyota Sienna. I'm thinking, they're going to give me their brand new car. They got that car, they were driving it, and they were so convicted by the Holy Spirit that it's like, you know what, this is way too good for us. We got to give it to Jeff and Jacqueline. You know, they're serving the Lord full time. They got a newborn baby, brand new baby, you know, newlyweds in less than a year, you know, let's bless them. So I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, Toyota, Sienna, minivan. I didn't really want a minivan, Lord, but you know what, I will take it. Amen. Can we meet you here on Saturday? I'm like, yeah, absolutely, we'll be here, totally. Now, I had never seen what they drove before they got their Toyota Sienna. I just didn't pay attention. So I'm waiting at the church on the campus, and there comes, I can't see it, but I can hear it, up the road. And I'm like, my God, what is that? And they come around the corner, and it is a 1987 station wagon with the wood paneling. And I'm like, and they're both, the other car's behind them, so they're both there. And I can just see both their faces. Ray's driving the station wagon, and Ramona's in the Toyota Sienna. And they've got the biggest smile on their face. And I did not. I did not have a smile on my face. I was so ungrateful. And they pulled right up. And he gets out and he is so proud of it because he bought it brand new back in 1987. And it was that then probably a pretty nice looking station wagon, if you can call a station wagon nice looking, with the wood paneling side. But now in 99, it's 2000, it's no longer pretty, especially thanks to the ocean rust that just happens to cars in Hawaii. And he gets out and says, "I just gave it an oil change." I was like, yeah, it needed way more than an oil change. What's wrong with the sound and the gas and the smoke that's coming out of the back end of it? And he's like, you know, we wanted to give this away. And we thought of you, which made me then wonder, what do you really think of me? Because here I am getting this car. So by the grace of God, I shook his hand. I took the title. I was super like, just Lord, get me through this moment. I got into it. Oh, I get into it and I'm starting it and it won't start. And I'm like, yeah, this is great. They can haul it away. Just haul it away right off the campus right now. And he comes over and he says, oh, I forgot to tell you that if you don't stop it right, there's something wrong that causes it to choke out and just die. Just give it a couple minutes and it'll turn over. And I'm like, perfect. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The attitude of gratitude. This is the season we learn that. Attitude of gratitude. Lord, you have financed your kingdom people in such a way that I think the enemy looks better sometimes by me driving this thing. I don't want to believe that, but that's how I feel. So I drove it home. I showed Jacqueline, and I know there was hesitation of like, you want to put our kids in this? I'm like, hey, this is how the Lord has provided, Jacqueline. Have a good attitude, right? I mean, that's back then, that's how we spoke to each other. It didn't last long, trust me. We drove that car, and I can't tell you how many stop signs, how many stop lights, how many times we were cut off and hit our brakes that for whatever reason, that lurch just caused it to just choke out, and we just sat there. And I used to think, like, oh, I should pull out of the way. I gave up. I gave up pushing it. I gave up moving it, and I just let people honk. I didn't care anymore. I was like, yeah, it really does. It takes a couple minutes. Whatever happens, it turns back on, and I'll just sit here. I began to bring books just in case. Just like, you know what, Lord? This would be a great time. So what I didn't know is that the back window, and I found this out about a month after we had it, leaked. And it leaked really bad. And if you remember on those station wagons, the back seat folded up to face out the back. And it had a little well for your feet. So the seat folded back. And well, there was this smell in the car that I just thought it was the car. And I never really inspected it. I just didn't spend much time with it. I didn't want to. I didn't want to honor it or thank the Lord for it or do anything with it. I was living in my misery and I was okay with it. Because Jacqueline was still driving the Jetta. Don't forget that. Every day. So I decided to open the back and I'm like, what is this smell? And I lift that back seat and it is filled with water. And it is not like swim in water or take a bath in water or even drinkable water. It is like moldy floaters on it, water. And I'm like, oh, this is not good. And I, you know, you try like scooping it out and stuff. And finally I was like, you know what? I started drilling holes in the bottom and just letting it drain out because I didn't know what else to do with it. And it drained. And every time it rained, it drained. Like it wasn't an issue anymore. And we packed so many of those little, I don't remember what they were called, but those little car freshener things that you put one in the car. We had like bags of them just in there to change the smell. And we drove that car for over a year. And what the Lord began to teach me is the nature of your ask, the power of your ask. Because what I really focused on in the season of asking was my lack and what others had that I didn't have. And as we had our second child, and Jacqueline's like, we are not putting any more kids in that car. Like, I don't care what you do with it, Jeff. And we didn't have the money to go finance a car. We didn't have the money to buy a car. We just didn't know what to do. We began to pray, Lord, you gave us a car. By now, I had had some deliverance. And now I was just waiting for it to manifest in the natural. Like, get rid of the car. And we started praying specifically. Lord, we would like a Honda Accord in the 1990s. And while we were still thinking used, God was working on us. We just weren't there yet. But a 1990-ish, late 90s, Honda Accord, four-door, tinted windows, AC, sunroof, CD player, fully tuned, low mileage, one owner, and we began to declare that. And we began to speak that. And I began to drive that car and that station wagon and going, your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. You're going to be replaced by a Honda Accord. And now some of you might be thinking like, Jeff, is that really how we're supposed to pray? Let me tell you, we're supposed to even pray for more. We're supposed to believe for more. But that's where I was at in that season of my life. So I'm at church Sunday morning. This guy walks up to me and he goes, hey, Jeff, I've seen the car you've been driving. How's that working out for you? And the Lord had really gotten a hold of my heart to just not make an issue of it. And I went through a good year of wrestling with the Lord. And so I told Alan, his name was Alan. I told Alan, I was like, you know what? I'm grateful I don't have to walk. He's like, man, I love that attitude. I was like, it took a lot to get it. You better, you know, come on. Thank you, Jesus. He's like, I love that attitude. I was like, I'd like to bless you with a different car. I was like, thank you, Lord. The Toyota Sienna is finally going to come. And in that moment, the Lord said, you didn't ask me for a Toyota Sienna. I was like, oh, I didn't. Lord, forgive me. I want my words to line up. I want what's coming out of my mouth and that I've planted in my heart with the seed of the word of the Lord to line up. And I was like, hey, Alan, I thank you so much. Out of curiosity, what are you offering? And he looked right in my eyes, and I love this man, and he impacted my life in a lot of ways. He says, Jeff, I hear from the Lord, and you need to trust me that I've heard him. And I'm like, oh, Lord, is it a Honda Accord? And I didn't say it out loud, but I wanted to. And I was like, you know what, Alan, I know you hear from the Lord, and I trust you, and I'm grateful. Thank you. And he's like, yeah, meet me here on Saturday. I was like, oh, another Saturday, you know. And you know what? He came up around that corner, and it was a 1998 Honda Accord. Four doors, tinted windows, sunroof, CD player, an incredible AC system, you know, air conditioning because it's Hawaii. And I just started weeping. He got out of the car and he's like, are you okay? I'm like, forgive me. Alan, I didn't really trust you. I know I said I did, but I didn't. And I don't know that I really trusted the Lord because this thing. And he goes, it was my mom's. It's been parked in the garage for years. She passed away. We didn't know what to do with it. We thought we'd save it for our daughter. But one day at church, the Lord said, you need to give that car to Jeff and Jacqueline. And he go again, this is how God works. He tapped the roof or the hood and he goes, I just gave it an oil change. And I was like, how you redeem, Lord. I did not give that station wagon away. I donated it to a salvage yard. It's where it needed to lay and rest. It needed to probably before me owning it. But I made sure it ended up there. We ended up giving that car away because somebody blessed us with another vehicle. And we gave that vehicle away because somebody blessed us with another vehicle. And we began to find a lifestyle of not just asking the Lord for vehicles, but watching him bless his son and daughter. Watching him move upon the words that we spoke. And it taught us a lesson about the value of our words. About the places that we can go with our words or the places that we create with our words. And what we found before we left Hawaii and then since we've been here, the Lord has abundantly and extraordinarily met our needs. Down to now I drive a pickup that, granted, I went and traded in another vehicle so that I could own. But it was a vehicle that was given to me that God allowed me to then get what I had been praying for years in this pickup. And I love this pickup. And people ask me all the time, like, you know, would you ever sell it? I get offers for people to buy it. And I'm like, you know what? And it's, for those of you who don't know what I drive a 2007 Toyota Tundra. It's black, and I love it. And yes, it's lifted, and yes, I've added some things to it. And yes, I've taken really good care of it. And yes, it does need an oil change, and I'll go get that done. But the Lord, that's what I wanted. It's what began to stir in my heart when I began to look at other vehicles. And I said, Lord, one day, I don't know why, and I I do know how now. Like, I would love to own a black Toyota Tundra with all these different features on it. And I've often entertained the thought when somebody comes along and offers me way more money than I paid for it. Like, oh, well, Lord, what could I get with that? I could upgrade. I could get something else. Lord, I could drive a newer vehicle rather than a 2007 vehicle. And yet the Lord, it's my testimony. And he has yet to release me, because I go back to him and I go, you know, Lord, I could turn it in and I could get this offer and I could have this person buy it because they're asking. Or I could go to Albertsons and I pull into a parking lot and it's like, hey. And if you go look at the pickup, it's got issues. I mean, it's got issues, so it's not perfect. But I get the weirdest things, and I feel like they're a test sometimes. And I'm waiting for the Lord to one day say, hey, this is the time. Because I believe he will, if it's necessary. But people come and they say, it's a nice looking pickup. You ever thought about selling it? Yes, but not right now. And I use it as a testimony. And I share that with you because there's something about, where do you put your treasure? My treasure isn't in my pickup. My treasure isn't even in the fact that the Lord has given us over 7 vehicles and we've given away 7 vehicles. My treasure is in him and his provision. My treasure is in the way in which he exceedingly abundantly blows me away upon a request that I make. And he shows me, Jeff, keep me as your treasure. And I'll show you that you will reap way more than you sow. I will show you a principle. I will show you the kingdom in such a manner that you will see treasure. And if we keep our hearts right, as we seek the pursuit of seeing the kingdom of heaven at hand, we will discover that the things that the Lord wants to reveal from our heart by the Spirit will all of a sudden begin to manifest in front of us. If it's reconciliation in a miracle, in a marriage, it's reconciliation. If it's the healing of a loved one who has cancer, it's being able to look at them and see them for the treasure that they are in the kingdom. Saved or unsaved, God loves them. He is love. And he wants to reveal that love. And he will be the one that woos them. But he might just so choose you to be the wooer, to be the one that brings his love. Because you've put him as the treasure. You've put all his nature as the treasure. And you're not limiting what the treasure looks like. You're not limiting what the treasure can manifest to be. You're not set on defining the boundaries of how the treasure gets to manifest. You're not looking at an individual going, you know what, Lord, it'd be really good if they acted more like this. So I ask for that in the name of Jesus. Why not say, Lord, I want to see them the way you see them. I want to join with you mediating on their behalf, Jesus, by the Spirit of God. I want to recognize the treasure that's in front of me. That, here's the thing. Hear me, kingdom people. There is treasure in front of you. That when you listen to the voice of the world, they would not call it treasure. They'd call it foolishness. They'd call it stupid. They'd call it worthless. But if we listen to them to define what God has called treasure, we will miss. We will miss out on what God wants to reveal or use or reveal in such a manner that all of a sudden, you know, I used to do this with youth and kids, but you take a dollar bill and you wrap it up in a tissue. And you take another tissue and you blow into it. You put your snot in the tissue. And then you do this little sleight of hand trick. And you say, who wants my tissue? And they're like, no. And I'm like, but what I need you to understand is you do want this tissue. I guarantee you, if you take this tissue, it will be a blessing to you. And, you know, youth are like, no, no, yuck, you know, and you do the thing, you keep wiping your nose with it and stuff. But inside of it is a $20 bill. And what you're portraying to them and teaching them is that if the Father says you want this, no matter what it looks like or what man has done to it, if the Father is saying, take this from me, it's yours to have. Because I guarantee you, Some of you have seen me do this. When you hand that tissue because you find the one brave soul, they're probably like Dawson over there, that says, you know what? I'm just going to trust and take it. It's like, because I've convinced you and I've declared to you, you can trust me. Take this tissue. And you hand them the tissue. And they, you know, they come and they grab it. And it's like, ew, ew. I was like, hold on. Just like, look at it. You want me to look at your boogers? Yeah, look at it. Open it up. $20 bill. Yeah, God took my boogers and made a $20 bill. And all the other kids are like, whoa, that's not fair. Whoa, hang on. Wait, we didn't know. You tricked us. I never tricked you. I simply conveyed to you that like the Father, he has good gifts. And that kid is blessed. And you get blessed. And so this morning, what I want to pray for, and I want to invite you to stick around for, to receive prayer, is that the Lord gets to apprehend your hearts and begin to show you treasure. Show you the treasure that's right in front of you. Now I know some of you are sitting here this morning going, I just want the heat on. That would be like a great treasure, Lord. Yeah, yes, okay. That's not out of bounds. But can I encourage you to lift your eyes a little higher? Look to the expanse of the horizon. Begin to recognize that the landscape of heaven is right in front of you. And in that landscape is everything. Everything and more that the Lord would have for us. And as we get into this, the thing that I'm wanting you to recognize, and you can pray about, and you can look at the notes because we'll pick it up next week, is that we have to deal with the issue of the location of our treasure. Because the Word tells us that wherever your heart is, wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there. And so if some of you feel a little disheartened, ask the Holy Spirit, what treasure are you focused on? If some of you feel like your heart's been made a little vulnerable and you know, become, you know, susceptible to someone else's little, like, stuff, like, get before the Lord and go, Lord, I want to know what I've put my treasure in that has exposed my heart to the hurt. And allow him to come and show you, yes, I know you say you love me, but let me love you. I know you say you believe me, but let me work in you and through you. I know you say you think I'm your provider, but let me prove that I'm your provider. And get your heart into that place where he's the treasure. What you're going to find, some of you, it's not just a one day, like, hey, all of a sudden all my debt is paid. Because what God wants to instill in some of you is the wisdom to now train others. The wisdom to now steward how to balance a budget. How to not just pay your bills, but now begin to prosper. Some of you have sat in this room and you've wrestled with, Lord, I don't know where I'm going to get the money to pay my next mortgage. Or where I'm going to get the money to understand how to pay for groceries. And I get it. It's a very real reality. And there's a lot of fear entangled in that. And there's prayer available this morning for people to prophesy and speak and stand with you and break through with you. There may even be people in this room that, let's just do this. In the name of Jesus right now, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to put upon our heart a move to give to anybody in this room. And here's the thing. Don't complicate it by overthinking it. Don't complicate it by wondering, like, well, do they really need it? They look like they're pretty good. You know, they're looking a little healthy, like they're eating pretty well. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just say, Lord, for some reason you've put them on my heart. And obey. Obey. And as you receive it, honor the person giving it. Don't go, oh, you know what? Somebody else could use this more than I could. I don't really need it. You know what? I don't know why the Lord put them on your heart, but honor them because they're walking out in obedience. And you might not need it, but you know what? God might be doing something bigger than you know. And so you might think you don't need it right now, but you could walk out of this building, go to the grocery store, and the person in front of you is short $20. And it's like, oh, you know what? I just so happen to have that. Here you go. So honor the obedience of others. Would you stand with me? Hey, Prophet Rich, can we honor you? I don't know if the Lord's given you anything this morning or feel like, are you sure? Yeah. Oh, well, I was sitting there listening to you last night because I'd been thinking about this and I was like, oh man, I love the car stories, right? The way the Lord moves. He was sharing his own car story and the way the Lord blessed him. So here's the thing. My prayer is super simple, but don't miss profoundness. I was listening to this guy this week, this podcast, this guy I follow, and he was in the midst of teaching on the Holy Spirit being our teacher. And on the podcast, he gets up and goes, "We are not praying for any of you this morning. There is no prayer allowed in this room. None of you. Because you need to learn how to pray yourself." And I was listening, I was like, oh, praise God, yes, yes, Lord, teach us. We all need you, Holy Spirit, to teach. And then he goes, well, but wait a minute. Some of you need a miracle and maybe don't know how to pray for that. Well, oh, you know what? Some of you don't know. I realize maybe you don't know how to pray. And then he's like backtracking. I'm like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Stay there. Because it's so convicting. It's so convicting to stop and realize that, yes, we can partner and we are called to partner and we're called to labor. We're called to help one another. And we're here for that. There'll be a team up front to be able to do that. But you carry the authority. The Lord loves you. He sees you as his son and as his daughter. Ask. Lord, show me where my treasure is. Lord, show me how I should be praying for this situation. And after you do that prayer, then come ask for somebody else because they might bring the confirmation. They might bring a piece of the puzzle that was missing in your own prayer. Amen? So Holy Spirit, we welcome you right now in the name of Jesus to profound us with your revelation. Profound us with the revelation of our treasure. Profound us with the revelation of where our heart is. And we bless you, Holy Spirit, as you speak to us. And we thank you, Lord, that you hear every prayer in this room, every ask, every request. Whew. Come on. I'm going to say this to you. Ask again. That wasn't big enough. Come on, ask again. Moira, ask again. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. We break off all that shame. Right now, we break off all shame that would limit your ask. Ooh, some of you right now, the voice of your moms are telling you can't ask for that. Your mom would come along and say no. But you know what? Your heavenly Father right now is saying, let me show you. Let me show you. Honor your mom, but don't be limited by her. If that's your dad, you can apply it the same way. But I could hear the voice of a lot of mamas limiting. And you mamas in the house that have blessed your kids and said no when no is appropriate, but taught them how to pursue the Lord, God bless you. Those of you that will be mamas, we pray for that day. Because I told you so doesn't work in the kingdom. I get it. We say it. We get to that point with our kids. No, because I told you so. But because I told you so is not a heavenly response. When it comes to Father, help me. He says, hey, I told you so. But let me show you so. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, put that ask out there one more time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the revealing of that treasure, that provision. It's not about money. Some of you need healing. Yeah, we'll pray for you. We'll believe with you. We'll declare over you. But your ask needs to be bigger and first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. I see some of you, you're asking on behalf of others. Beautiful. You're asking on behalf of others, but I want to correct it for just a moment. I see you asking that the Lord would meet their need. But what I hear the Lord saying is, I want to meet their need through you. I want to meet the need through you so that he gets the glory. Yes, he wants to meet their need. Super honorable to say, Lord, bless my loved one, bless my neighbor, meet their need. I see them struggling. Honorable. And God does it. He does it. But for a moment, ask the Lord, Lord, send me. Send me. Send me to glorify you by meeting their need, by helping them understand your love. I said this earlier about our young generation, our kids and our youth, that I think we've set an example. And we need to see an awakening in them. We therefore need to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, am I worth following? And I would challenge you this week to put that ask. Father, make my life a living testimony that draws the young generation to you. And I'm going to add to that ask by saying it this way. So that they can learn from you, but that we can learn from them. That doesn't disqualify what you have to offer. It's necessary. We're supposed to be passing on a generational blessing. But they see things very different than many of us. They're going to see solutions where we see problems. And what you and I need to do is to be able to define the path that we're called to walk, not the way in which we walk. Because their walk might look different, but if we're following Jesus and his path, then we'll all get it right. But telling them they have to look like us, sound like us, read what we thought was the greatest book to ever be written, listen to the greatest worship song that moved our heart, you can try it. But why don't you ask them, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to them? Amen? Amen. For those of you that are on our prayer team, if you want to come forward this morning, we welcome you. Part of the Healing Rooms ministry. For the rest of you, be blessed. Be encouraged. Connect with someone. Move in this room right now. If the Lord puts somebody on your heart, and if you don't know who that person is, hold up $20 and go, come and get it. And see if that works for you. Or look around the room and ask the Lord to open up your eyes to see his heavenly finger going. Maybe not like this, but you know. God bless you. Amen. We'll see you next Sunday. We'll have some heat in the room. Have an amazing week being the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven.